everybody. Welcome back to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk about the big ideas of kids ministry and discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. My name is Mike, and I'm one of your hosts today, joined by Gina.
How are we doing?
And Kellen.
What's up?
Wow. Flashback to the 80s. Was that Budweiser? What was that?
That was one of those.
Wasn't that like a wasabi thing?
What? Oh, that was, I thought it was like a,
no, that's
a
not,
beat.
Was
that
was
beer,
not original.
It was the beer commercial.
Are we allowed to say that word? On
what's
our?
Not sure what a strong start we have to our episode today. So this is going to be a good one. Well, today we are talking about the idea of first time guest at your church and specifically in your children's ministry. And we're going to talk about, what do you do? How do you start a process? How do you follow up with them? Because this is something that we hopefully have a problem with, right? Because you hope you have first-time guests.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And when you talk about your first-time guests that come in here, when you walk into a place and you visit somewhere for the first time, it could be a church, it could be a retail establishment, whatever. What's like a great first-time visiting experience that you guys have had recently, or maybe just like it stands out, not recently.
There you go. Well, take it.
It's not even a church. It was a hotel.
A hotel.
We were on Orange tour or something like that, traveling someone Orange, but we were in Indiana and we stayed in this really nice hotel. Don't remember the name of it.
Right.
But I remember going into the hotel out of the elevator. Funny. I was leaving the elevator and Andy Stanley was getting into it. So I'm like, that's kind of weird. So that was my first experience meeting Andy Stanley in places. No, but the very first thing was in the hallway, they had this cool wooden like hutch in the corner.
Yep.
And it was, it had like a diffuser going off. So the hallway smelt incredible.
Wow.
So I think the very first like experience I had, and I'm a very smells person, walked into the hallway and I felt comforted. I felt relaxed and I didn't even reach my room yet. So that was probably one of my favorite recent experiences.
Love that.
That was all inclusive, all the
all
senses.
All inclusive. You know, it's a good, speaking of hotels, I don't know if it's the DoubleTree or whatever it is, but like when you go to check in, they greet you by name and how are you? Mm-hmm. And would you like a warm cookie? Like, what is that? Is that the DoubleTree? I can't remember what
it is. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'll never say no to a warm cookie.
Never say no to a warm cookie. But I was just like, now that makes me want to come back to your hotel. So, no, it's good. Gina, what about you? Any great experience? Or
we went to a restaurant recently and in the heart of downtown Nashville, and walking in, it's one of those restaurants that is limited seating. You have to have a reservation in order to be able to get a table, and it holds so much potential to be kind of a cramped, uncomfortable experience. And yet, from the time that we were greeted right when we walked in the door to even the smells that hit us right when we walked in, the way that they navigated it, I couldn't even put words into how they did it, but the way that the host team greeted us, we didn't feel any of what could have been inconveniences to the experience just because of the way they treated us, right?
Yeah.
The way that they shepherded us or, just led us to our table pretty quickly. I don't know. It's funny how that worked, but it was everything about their demeanor, about the warmth in their smile.
Yeah.
There was, we were important. And here's the thing. We know we're not, but we felt that way in that moment.
But you felt like you didn't have to think about anything. You
not
just had to show
all.
Up and then eat and then pay them. And
give
then
them the name and they take us straight to our table. It was the coolest experience.
Awesome. That's cool. Love that. Well, today we are going to be talking about first-time guest experience at your church, specifically in your kids' ministry. And we have Andre Jones joining us today, who has an incredible process at their church. He serves as the family ministries director at One Community Church. And Andre, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good, Mike. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great.
So good.
We are doing good. Now, Andre was born in Florida, but you're a military child, right? Military family?
Yeah, I'm a military brat. You can go ahead and call us
military.
Who we are.
Yeah. Well, my stepfather was in the Navy, so I was a Navy brat. So yeah, it's good to meet a fellow brat.
I was just a brat in life, so.
That is true.
You didn't fall under any of the branches of
military. No category, just a brat.
But you currently, Andre, currently resides in San Antonio. Is that correct?
No, I'm actually in Plano. I grew up in San Antonio. Once we moved there and went to school there,
got it.
Went up north.
Knew it was in Texas somewhere. So
it's
Andre,
a big state.
It's a big state, guys. Let me tell you something. So Andre is married. His wife Randy. It says that Andre loves to watch movies. Andre, I got to ask you this. Knowing this, what is your favorite? What would you say is the best all time movie?
Ooh, all time?
That's a hard question.
I thought you were going to say genre, but
I'm going to start us off. Okay. I'm going to go.
There we go.
I'm going to go Matrix.
Ooh.
I'm going to go the Matrix, guys.
Now that's a pretty good one. That's
revolutionary movie, groundbreaking technology use in there. It's Keanu Reeves, so you know, there's something.
Yeah.
Andre?
I feel like I could watch anything Jurassic Park, anything Star Wars, any of those.
See, I was going to go with Star Wars.
I can't select one.
Star Wars is solid. I'm gonna go with Star Wars and New Hope
because that just started it all.
That's solid.
I was gonna say E.T. I love E.T.
Oh, I remember E.T. That was such a good movie.
That's good.
Kids, aliens, bicycles, that's Spielberg, good. All good.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, Andre has a son, Jaden, and a daughter, Kaylin. Is that right? Mm-hmm. How old are they?
Yes. So Jaden is 12 and Kaylin is 10.
Oh, fun.
They rule our lives. We're professional Uber drivers now. So.
Oh, Lord, yes.
But
yes.
We don't get paid our tips. So.
You don't get paid your tips. That's right. That is awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today, Andre. And we would love just to dive right into this discussion today about first-time guests in your kids' ministry. And I think it's important just to start with, I know it should be an obvious, like, why this should be an important thing, but speak to us a little bit about that from your experience, Andre.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think we've heard it before, the idea that if you win the kid, you win the family. And so we definitely want to put emphasis on kids, that they're a big part of our ministry. And I think when those kids come in and they feel welcome, you know, they're in schools Monday through Friday, and that's normal to them. Mm-hmm. And then if a family's coming, this church is brand new to them. And so if you want to connect with them, you got to do it instantly. You want that family to feel welcome because they're entrusting you with their precious cargo, like that nursery age kid, that preschool kid, that elementary kid, it's dire to them. And they want to know that they're in good hands. And so I think it's on us to ensure that we do everything we can to make sure their experience is great from beginning to end.
Agreed.
Love it. So when you say beginning to end, talk to us about the beginning process. What are some of the things that you guys do at one? When you say beginning, does beginning start when they walk into maybe the large group room or their small group room, or is beginning start somewhere else for you guys?
You know, we've been looking at it, and I think it used to be like when they walk into the door, but now with all of this digital, I would say it starts on your website. And just like we talked to our web team, and I told them literally, like, when they go to the website, I want a kid like to peer over their parent's shoulder and be like, what's that? I want to go there.
Ooh.
So it's got to be inviting. It's got to be engaging. They got to see kids that look like them in an environment that they want to be at. But then I think there's also a bigger partnership too. Like our parking team, like they're out there fun. Sometimes they have their little Mickey Mouse hands. And if a kid sees that, they're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
You know, instead of the guy sipping his coffee and he's like, yeah, park over there. Like, that's not fun.
That's not fun. That's not inviting.
So you have them wear Mickey Mouse hands when they're directing traffic?
Every once in a while, you know, they don't let me out there that much, but yeah, they have them out there and they're waving to them with the, you know, one hand has the wand and one hand waving. So they're like,
I live next to Disney in California, humble brag, and I'm definitely getting some Mickey hands. That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
It's fun. That's just, you just don't expect that. And it's just like, okay, to think that far ahead intentionally, that's great. I love the Mickey Mouse hands idea. What else about the beginning process leading up to walking into your environment?
Yeah, I think there's a partnership with like your larger guest services team. And so, you know, we have first-time guest parking where people can park right in front of our building. They're coned off. They put their flashers on, which lets our team know that this is a first-time guest. And so they'll literally escort them up. But if it's done wrong, I've literally had times where that person has walked over half of our building and didn't get to our first-time guest area.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And it was just because somebody didn't know. So communicating with the entire team to say, hey, bring them here, introduce them to such and such, and making sure they also know who else is in charge. Because I've had them chase me down in the building, and they're just like, we wanted you to meet this guest. But then I have to walk them all the way across half the building because they thought everybody had to go to me. So delegating is big, too.
So I love the idea of starting in the parking lot and working in conjunction with the guest services team. So maybe it's the Mickey Mouse hands, right? Could be that. It's designated parking and working with your parking team to say, hey, we have these special spots reserved for you as a first-time guest to do that. And then you said you actually have somebody who helps escort them into the building, or did I hear that right?
Yeah. There's on all our doors, there should be one of our guest services team, whether it's from the kids guest services team or the, you know, global guest services team.
Okay.
And the moment they see somebody, they go out to greet them, shake their hand. If they have kids, they'll, you know, bring them to our guest services there. Or if they're just adults, they'll walk them to the other area. But I think that just takes some of the guessing out, because if you're walking down to our building, there is signage, but outside there's nothing that says, like, you know, big blimp that says first time guest here.
Got it.
And so we want to escort them personally to that environment where then our team takes over, greets them. And one of the things we try to do is, I think sometimes we'll focus a lot on the adults and trying to get the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And that kid is just sitting there looking up at you, mm-hmm, like lost. And so we try to encourage our team to connect with not only the adult, but also just connect with that kid so that they feel welcome.
Yeah.
That's good.
I love the idea of just remembering that that kid is so important to that process and creating that partnership. At least that's what I hear, is a partnership is what it sounds between your general guest services team and in the volunteer team that you build for maybe your kid's specific guest services, right?
No, absolutely. And you got to teach them how to do the fist bumps and the exploding fist bumps and the high fives and the wiggly fingers. Like, you got to know all that.
All of it, just to make sure that kid feels comfortable. And that goes a long way, right? Because when we make eye contact with a kid, when we get down eye level with them, and when we are intentionally engaging them, what it says to mom or dad is, my kid has a place to belong here, right? And that's what they want more than anything. You know, that's what they're more concerned about. They can navigate themselves.
Yeah.
If they don't know where the bathroom is, okay, they're going to figure that out. If they don't know maybe where they need to go, they're going to figure that out. But they're more concerned about their kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, being comfortable with this new environment. So that's a great, just a really practical step to take, is make sure that we're intentional about engaging that kid and they're not standing there awkwardly wondering. We're just not giving him space to wonder, am I going to have fun here?
Yeah, it's so true. Even this last Sunday, Andre, as you said that, I visualized what happened 24 hours ago before, we're recording this. New mom came, two kids, and our check-in team was getting all the information because we're starting this new process. And I remember I was on the other check-in table, I'm helping out, and I looked over and these two kids were just blankly staring at nothing.
Yeah.
And so I just went over there and, I'm 6'7", so I take a knee and I'm still 5'8", and I'm like, hey, kids. And I engaged with them, but I love that you brought that up, because I think sometimes as adults, we can forget those little persons and look over them and try to get the information so we can send the cards and the letters and the spam and the lot, or not spam, sorry, we don't do that. Send the flyers and whatnot. But I also loved, if we can back just 2 seconds, when you said the greeting team is aware of how to greet kids and where to bring them to the other team. Because I think in church, old church, we used to silo ministries.
Right.
Yeah, where it's like, I'm an adult ministries, I'm greeter ministries, I'm parking ministries, I'm kids. But I like that you have that connection of, you're parking and greeting and, first impressions, but you're a part of our kids team because we don't see the kids first. You do. So you're the front lines of our kids ministry.
Exactly.
I really enjoyed that you said, I'm glad that you said that.
No, I think that's, the church I attend, and I don't know any of the details because I'm not on staff there, but everybody has their guest services shirt on. So I don't know if they're a specific kids person or part of the overall guest services team. But there's one individual, this lady, who stands out there every Sunday, and she seeks out kids on purpose to give them a high five. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really high five any other adults, but she seeks out kids, and she gets down there, and she's like, hey, what's going on? We're so glad you're here. And I can't help but think, I'm just like, either like she just gets it, or my guess is behind the scenes, there's somebody in the Kidmin world working with guest services world just to let them know, like, that one little thing right there just makes all the difference. And I notice that it stands out because she is like, high five and all these kids who are walking in with their parents to do that. So I think that's awesome. That's incredible.
Do you chase her down for a high five, Mike?
I'm an introvert, Gina, so I try to avoid all physical contact with people.
Me too.
I'm going to give you a hug later. So Andre, what about, I know that a first-time guest gift is relatively common, right? We want to put something in their hands a lot of times that just says, we were planning for you. We're excited that you're here. What have you discovered that really works well as it relates to a first-time guest gift? Or would you say, hey, quit doing that. It's really not worth the budget dollars you invest.
That's
what would you say?
No, I think it's a big win for families. And it kind of eases them in as well. Because, we give out a gift to the kid as well as the parent. And so in some of the things in the kids are, we've done devotionals, we've done just toys, we've done, fruit snacks, candy, something to try to gauge all the kids, because some kids not going to want candy, or their parents going to take the candy and then throw it away, which then makes me sad because mm-hmm. that came out of our budget. We try to put some fun stuff in there. And then for the parent as well, is we let them know, hey, this bag's for you. And it has information on our ministry. It has some next steps. It has service times. We did the phase cards for a while there. And, you know, if we saw their particular age group, we would drop their phase card in there. So then that's they knew how to talk to their fourth and fifth grader, their second and third grader, or their preschool kiddo. And we'll try to switch it up too.
Okay.
Just so like the other kids that are there that have already come, they'll see something. Oh, what's that? So now there's an awe of the kid that's been there for a while, but also that first time guest gets something. And they're like, man, this is really, really cool.
Got it.
And I think I heard Kellen talk about it on the Easter one. Is it helps identify those kids as they're walking in the hallway.
Yep.
So then all our team knows that, and they're like, oh, yellow bag, what's going on? How are you?
Yeah, you treat them just a little bit different with just a little more a special touch when you recognize their.
No, I love that. It's kind of like going back, you mentioned your humble brag there, Kellen, about Disneyland. One of the beautiful things about Disney is when you go there, and whether it's your birthday or whether it's your first time, and you get that special button, like the cast members are trained to look for those buttons. Yep. And when you're walking by, mm-hmm. you say, hey, happy birthday. And you're like, wait a minute, how'd you know it's my birthday? I was like, oh, I got a button on.
Every kid spazzes out. Cause they're like,
exactly. Or it's my first time here. And it's just that special little welcome. Say, hey, welcome to Disneyland, or welcome to One Community Church. Welcome to here. We're so glad you're here to do that. So I think finding whether it's a button, whether it's a sticker, whether it's just something that you don't, because some kids might be shy, might not be like, my daughter is shy. She's 8 years old. And is like, don't put anything on me that draws people attention to me. But it's just trying to think out what could we do to help recognize that moment with them. So no, I think that's great. I think that's awesome. You know, when you mentioned candy, the church I attend, one of the things they do, and this isn't just for like first-time guests, this is for every kid, they pass out Starburst. Mm-hmm. And they have somebody standing at the door, because I don't know in your environments, Gina, Kellen, you, Andre, like before you go into the kids' environment, there's only one way in and there's one way out through these doors.
Yeah.
And then they have their desk where if you're a first-time guest, you go to collect all the information, which I want to talk about that for a second in just a moment after I get to my candy illustration. But while the parents are filling out, or even if you're a member there, they have the Starburst person, the Starburst man or the gal or whatever it is, and they stand there with the pail. And kids get to go up there and grab the candy and eat on. Now, again, you mentioned, Andre, some parents don't want their kids to have candy, which is just like a sin, right? It's just a sin. But my kids grab two Starbursts every time. Abusive. And my rule of thumb is you eat one now and then you save one for later to do that. So I think that's an adequate amount of sugar to get you through to do that. But here's what I want to know. First time guest, when I go to visit somewhere, whether it's a store or whatever, it's just like, here's what I hate is say, hey, can I help you find something? Like, no, I'm good. Well, let me show you this. And like, they keep like wanting to get stuff out of you. And I'm like, I'm just acknowledge I'm here. And then just let me go do my thing.
Right.
But sometimes to check your kid into a ministry area, do you collect every bit of information? Or it's just like, we just need to know the basics. So in case something happened with your kid to do that, like what, and I would love to hear from all of you guys, what is the information that you want and that you ask for, because sometimes that can even be a burden. Not so much for the kids. It can be for the kids because if the mom or dad is like standing there filling out all the information with his computer, what is some of the, talk to that for a second, Andre and Gina and Kellen, love to hear from you guys too on that.
Yeah, no, I've talked to some different churches and, you know, I think some people just grab like the bare minimum, name, phone, email, kids' age. We use Fellowship One for ours, and so we definitely have to get the kid's name, date of birth, any allergies or anything, because we also have a tag that notes if they have allergies. So we'll make sure that that's on there.
Got it.
We want to get the parents' contact information, because if we need to page them in the service, our name tag has a code on there, so we can use that. But some parents aren't looking at the screen, or they just don't want to see it. And so they're like, I didn't see that.
They're in denial.
And so occasionally we have to text them. And so we want to have that. We do ask for their address and their email. Some people put it on there. Some people bypass right by it. And we don't try to force them. Like, hey, I see you didn't do your email. Can you put it there?
Yeah.
If they didn't put it there, they probably don't want to get anything.
Yep.
But we gather that information because we send a postcard to every kid that goes in the mail, like it went in today on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's an email follow-up that they'll get opted into, and it just has information. So that it's pertinent for us, but I'm never going to go to a parent and be like, you got to put that on there. I really just need your your name, kids' information, and a contact information for you.
Yeah.
So you capture the pertinent information to get them successfully checked into an environment and to contact mom or dad during the service.
Correct.
And then a way to follow up with them, but even that information is optional if they want to provide it. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's smart because then you're only keeping them in that one area, in that first time guest time. You're only keeping them for a few minutes, right?
Yeah. No, and I think it's levels too. When you have someone fill out, we ask for kid's name, age, et cetera, grade, mm-hmm. and then the parents' information, email, home address, because we would like to send them stuff. But I like, Andre, that you brought up, parents' comfortability of what they want to share. Minimum, mm-hmm. I think phone numbers are important.
Sure.
For if anything happens in the classroom,
yeah. you can text them.
Yeah. So for safety, yep. and that's what we tell parents, like, hey, yeah. for safety, we need your phone number.
Yep.
And then anything after that, we would love to send you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad sometimes. I sometimes hunt down parents because I really want them to get what we're going to send them.
Yeah.
But I do it in the nicest way. And I'm like, hey, I'm so glad that you enjoy this time. And I kind of do follow up after mm-hmm. service gets out if I recognize mm-hmm. that family that I really want.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You know what I've done? When a parent doesn't provide their mailing address and I'm going to send them something, which often is a handwritten card from their small group leader mm-hmm. or it's that first time guest follow up, you know, gift or whatever, I'll contact them with the phone number that I have. And I text most of the time because most people text more than they call. So I'll text and I'll just tell them, hey, we have something that we want to give to your child, you know, mm-hmm. but I don't have a mailing address. Do you mind providing that to us?
Do you have a template that you give to your team or that you use or just?
No, with this one in particular, I've been the one to text okay. just because, you know, for that volunteer that's maybe over our first time guest area,
yeah,
it means using their personal cell okay. phone. And so yeah. I've just opted to do it myself. But that's how I capture that email because yeah. or that address. Just because for parents, they don't want to give their address because they might not feel comfortable with what are you going to do with that information?
Yeah, sure.
But now what I've told them is we've got something for your child. Well, that breaks down the walls,
yeah,
you know, because then they're willing to provide that information because they want whatever it is you have for their kid.
That's good.
Yep. No, that's good. In your check-in areas, let me ask you guys this. Andre, we'll start with you. Do you guys have a special first-time guest lane or check-ins mm-hmm. just for that? Like you have your regular check-in, then you have first-time. Is that something you guys do there, Andre?
Yeah, we have. We actually have an entire area that's kind of devoted for it. Ooh. And wow. so
good. Fancy.
They've got
VIP section. Some,
yeah. I had to fight for it. I had to fight for it.
What does that look like? What does that look like?
Last Easter, we had a coffee bar that was in the kids' building. And last Easter, they said, hey, we're not going to serve coffee. And so I said, great. Let's turn that whole area into our first-time guests. And they're like, fine.
Smart.
And I was like, oh, that's great. And so then I just kept hinting. I was like, man, that space was so great. Like we had no family felt like they were, mm-hmm. In a big line. There was more than enough space. The lighting is great. You can see right outside. It's easily accessible. There's nobody drinking coffee in the middle of your first time guest. Nobody's trying to put their coffee on your forms.
Yeah.
And so when we did our building renovation, they were like, hey, we're going to wipe out the coffee bar. And we're going to turn that in all first time guests. And so
that's great.
We did. There's some phase information there.
That's smart.
A nice little kiosk and, it's bright so families can see it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I think all of our campuses, there's a central place for our first. If you go to our Louisville campus, the moment you walk into our kids' building, and it's even before you even get into the secure zone, it's just first-time guests there.
I love that.
No, that's awesome.
So it's visible from when a family enters. So it's very easy to find, and it's obvious. This is where I go if I'm a first-time guest. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so I think Louisville did theirs better. Ours, we had to take this original church and then we expanded.
Yeah. Okay.
And so if you come into our front door, it's great. Boom, I see it. If you come on the side doors, you probably need a little help getting there. Mm-hmm. But once you're in that zone, there's no question. That's first time. Yes, I got it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And even if it isn't visible, that's not a deal breaker. We mm-hmm. have the same challenge. Andre, I've got a campus that you have to get halfway through the lobby before you recognize anything that might be kid related.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're working on some things, some design aspects in the lobby that might help that, but that's down the road because that's dictated by budget. And, there are other factors that play into that. So our best resolution is as you started with, let's you build a strong partnership with our greeting team, and let's make sure that our greeters recognize when it appears that this is a family that doesn't know where they're going. And so, yeah. and they're immediately with them and escorting them back to where they need to go. So, yeah. you know, visibility, although yeah. we want it, it's not a deal breaker if we don't have it. It means using that human signage, leveraging our volunteers well in order to make yeah. sure that our first time guests are taken care of.
I think that's great, but not but, because that means I'm going to refute what
Get
you're saying.
Your butt out of my way.
Also,
did I say
that?
You did.
I would say with visibility should be in every conversation. So if you're a director listening to this, or a lead volunteer, or you have some say in the creative process, I think visibility should be a part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Our church meets at a high school campus. So mm-hmm. if you've ever been mm-hmm. to any high school
yes.
campus,
yeah.
especially in California, they're outdoors because, you know, it's perfect weather all the time.
You are humble bragging.
I'm so
humble. That was a weird flex, but okay.
I just want Andre to be my friend. I just want him to know that I come from cool places. So we have a campus. So if you go to our website, ourcity.church, you can see it on the main page.
Yeah.
We have two giant banners that we put up every Sunday, one that says Our City Church for anyone that goes on the website. Mm. And then right next to it, of equal size, the giant white banner that says Our City Kids.
Yeah.
That's good. So mm-hmm. visibly, when you walk up, it's like, where do my kids go? And I'm like, well, look up 5 feet. No, I don't say that's really rude, but they can see a spot. And we used to have the check-in inside the first courtyard. So if you go through those yeah. doors that are right underneath the banner, there's a steps and it goes to this courtyard. We used to set up there because I thought, well, the campus is kind of big and it kind of cuts down on people having to walk just mm-hmm. a straight, boring walk. But when it rained one day, we moved it to underneath where the banner is because there was shading. And our check-in has been there for the last few months because it's a one-stop shop and it's a lot easier for first-time guests to go right under the banner,
oh, yeah,
fill out good. The stuff, talk to the people there. And mm-hmm. then we have people that walk them. It may be a long walk to the classrooms, mm-hmm. but they have someone accompanying them. So yep. if you're wondering whether you're a church plant or you're building a new building, that's awesome if that's happening. But really consider visibility of your initial spot, because mm-hmm. confused parents
yep.
can often be fussy parents because they don't want to be in that position with their kid. Like, what do I do? I want to yeah. get to service. Is worship starting? I don't know what's happening. Where do yep. I go?
Right.
So
if they've shown up on time, they're late.
If they show up on time, they're late. Right. If they show up late,
they're really late.
The pastor's probably wrapping up his message, but you smile and say, we will check that kid in for the next 10 minutes. But, if that's what you want.
I think wherever you go, whether it's a retail store or it's a hotel, as we talked about, or you mm-hmm. go to your church, mm-hmm. like with your first time, you want your experience to be obvious,
yes.
right? Yeah. To know where to go. So that might happen through signage. Like, you might be able to have the budget and the resources and the say-so, the input to be able to say, we want to put awesome, this and
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But I think even if you don't have that, I think what Andre and they do at One Community Church is awesome, is you partner then.
Yeah.
You partner with your other teams, like with the parking team and the Mickey Mouse hands. Mm. As you're yeah. coming in, they'll tell you where to go, and there's a parking place.
People,
and once you get there,
yeah.
there's somebody who's going to guide you into their now redesigned, you know, first-time guest area to do that in conjunction with their guest
exactly.
services. So it's do what you can with what you have,
yeah.
but
yeah.
the idea is to do something to make it intentional, to make them feel special. So we talked about
so good.
Getting them there as a first-time experience, but then let's talk about the back end of this, Andre, and the follow-up process. What
yeah.
is something that you guys do? You have their information, their child has come, they've had a great experience, but what is the, to make it the wow factor, what do you do to follow up with first-time guests?
Mike, I was thinking about something. Like, some simple things that people can do is probably like balloons or even like stickers on the ground that just draw them to like their first time guest there.
Mm. Yeah.
For visibility.
That are really
no, inexpensive.
Yeah. Just something that people could see. Like, balloons don't cost a lot.
Nope. That's true.
And it's like, hey, the balloon, and they kind of path it. Like, you know, people do different colors that take you to different rooms, but like different balloons or different
yeah.
stickers.
That's awesome.
So just thinking
it's a great
that.
Idea.
On the back end, once we gather that data, our team, we want to connect with those families as fast as they can because that experience is still fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so our goal is within 48 hours, I want to talk to somebody. Like, not just left you a message, a text. Like, within 48 hours, our goal is that we have connected with that family.
Yep.
We just want to know how you're doing.
Yep.
We're That's not really trying good. To sell you anything. We're not like, oh, I can't wait to see you. It's literally just, and how did everything go? Is there anything we can do better? How was your kid? And I think the more information you know, helps them. So if I'm calling the family and this feels like a robocall, they're kind of leery. But if I can mm-hmm. say, hey, how was Mike? How was Gina? How was Kellen? They're like, oh, okay.
a personal.
Like you were paying attention.
Yep.
So that call is big. We'll email the family and it just starts a 4-week deal. And we got that from Nick Blevins and he had a whole little template. And so we took that and edited it and made it our own.
Why 48 hours? Is there a specific reason for that number?
I think somebody gave you, in a way our pastor talks about it, is somebody was willing enough to give you that information. And it's our responsibility to do something with it. And it's fresh on their mind.
Yeah.
If I call you on Sunday, Monday, you're still thinking about, man, worship was great. Or your kid is in your back seat playing with the toy we gave you or the Devo. Or, you know, we use the placemats for our preschool kids in Orange. Yeah. And, you know, they're probably sitting there with that placemat. And so it's fresh. But if I call you on Friday, work has happened. Basketball has happened. Track has happened. So you're like, hey, how was everything? Oh, it was good.
Too much distance. Yeah.
Now, is that your church as a whole as a policy for that? Like, if I visit your church, am I getting a call from somebody in guest services? And then if I had kids, I'm getting a call from you in the kids department as well? Or am I just getting one call?
So you're going to, like, the whole policy is 48 hours, regardless of kids, students, whatever it is.
Yep.
Just we want to make that connection there.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think that's incredible because even if I didn't have a good experience at your church, and I may share that with you, what valuable feedback.
Yeah.
Right? To be able to, like, in real time with first-time guests, we can start making adjustments on the fly based upon, like, hey, this is working or this is not working or we're having this amount of people come back and we need to kind of figure out what is it that's preventing them from coming back in their experience. And again, some people are going to come back because of just whatever, you know, to do that. But I think that's awesome. I think that's incredible. And I love the 48-hour policy. And I love that I'm giving you this information. You need to do something with it. So
it also speaks to the next steps too. We do Bible studies on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And so if I can connect with, you know, this weekend is men. So we do it every other week. So women's is first and third, men's is second and fourth. I'm talking to a guy. And I connect with them Monday. Hey, brother, I'd love to see you on Wednesday for Bible study. Can I bring my kids? Yeah, we have childcare.
That's good.
Office lady, did you hear about women's Bible study? Need you to be there.
Yep.
So there's also those next steps that we can drive them to.
See, that's smart. Making sure you give them a next step that they have the option of taking.
Yep.
That's really smart. Do you make those calls yourself or do you delegate that to a volunteer? What does that look like?
It's a combination.
Yeah.
There's a team, so our guest services team, they own that first call, but I make sure that they give me some of them because I want to be intentional with them. And I can see their notes. So they talk to a family and that family, like, oh my gosh, I had an amazing experience. Then I'll probably do a follow-up with them. So they'll get two calls that week, one from the team member and then one just from me because I just want to get some more of their feedback. Or if there's something that went wrong, then I will call them immediately because I want to be the voice they hear because, hey, we messed up or something didn't go according to plan. So it's a combination.
Where are they keeping those notes? Do you put that in Fellowship One?
We do. And we do Fellowship One. And also we use a little bit of just Google Sheets because it's free and it's simple. And it's a lot easier to give access to that opposed to let me create you an account and reports and all this stuff in Fellowship One.
That's what I was thinking of. Google Sheets is simpler. So I think that's a great solution.
And it's free. Christians love free. So
everybody loves budget. So you do the call for the parents just to kind of follow up with them. But do you guys do anything as a follow up for the kids when they come to visit your Kidman area?
Yeah. So everybody gets a handwritten postcard that our guest services team writes right there. We try to get the person who actually checked them in to write it. Just because they'll remember something about the kids and they'll see them.
Yeah.
I love what Gina said where, you know, you try to get that small group leader to do it.
Yeah.
That's definitely a goal of ours. But right now it's that guest services team.
Yep.
And that goes into the mail Monday. They should probably get it Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
So there's this excitement there as well.
Yeah.
I love that. And as my kids, you know, in the digital age that we live in, getting a piece of parchment in the mail that is handwritten from someone, whether it's your small group leader or whether it's the person they remember that checked them in, that's a huge thing. I think, and it's a very personal thing too, just to be able to say, this is awesome. You were thinking of me. You didn't have to do this, but you put some thought into that.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I don't know where I read this or saw this. Somebody does like a video where they do like a little 15-second, 20-second video and they're just like speaking every kid's name. They're like, hey, Mike, it was so good to have you in this video. And then they send it over to the family.
Oh, that's neat.
I think I got that from Next.
That's next level right there.
I love that.
Good gracious. I wouldn't know where to begin with that. But no, that is awesome. Well, this has been such good information, Andre. And I think the importance of, if out there for our listeners is to say, it doesn't matter your budget. It doesn't matter your resources. It's the intentionality of thinking of your first-time guests before they enter into your building and then what you do afterwards. And there's so many things, so many different examples. And I hope that you were able to take some of what Andre has shared and some of the examples that Gina and Kellen have shared and be able to apply those into your ministry on what you're already doing, or maybe seeing some gaps where you can kind of help fill those in with some of these ideas. So this has been great. Andre, thanks so much for hanging out with us today and sharing, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, man, my pleasure. Love the podcast. Love what you guys are doing and look forward to learn more.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And we've all learned so much from you today. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode of the Orange Kids Podcast. And as always, if you have liked what you've heard and you want to hear more, then you can subscribe to our podcast, however you're listening to it. And while you're at it, leave us a review. It really does help. So thanks again, Andre. And thank you so much for listening to us. And until next time, we will see you on the next episode of the Orange Kids Podcast. Kellen, take us out with a little first time ditty.
Here we go. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll listen to us next week. We'll see you again.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
You know what?
About following.
I like the see you again part. That was really good.
See you again. All right.